Welcome to Natural Recovery from Suffering. This is Scott Killaby. I have something to tell you. You may or may not know, and you may or may not want to know. But the last time I talked about unmet needs, a lot of people came to listen. So I hope a lot of people are listening because people know about this subject. They may not be conscious of their own needs, but people just know about this because I notice when I talk about it, you all come. So it's such an important topic. Everything about KI moves towards unmet needs because through unmet needs, we see how we create our suffering and relationship because we need love, approval, and safety. We actually find the conditioning here that's connected to the repressed emotions. From childhood, when we didn't get our needs met, the emotions that we couldn't feel are stored in our body and we access them here. And then we discover our unmet needs and only then because they're buried. And that's why people are interested. And they come and listen, but they don't have any access to it. It's like they resonate with the topic because at some level, they know, you know, that this is really important. It's super important. It's critical. It's the bypass. Because when you're a human being driven by the need for safety, love, and approval, whatever you tell yourself at the surface is just to cover that up, to hide it from yourself. And when you really see the narcissism of this that we all have, we can't help it. By trying to get love and safety and approval through false means, rather than being our authentic self with people, there's an inherent manipulation in that that needs to be owned for suffering to end. If you're somebody who suffers, then when you walk into a room, you already have a need for love, approval, validation, safety that is already in play the moment that you walk in the room. It's in play at an unconscious level because there are emotional needs. So they're tied to the repression. And so the unconscious is really driving you when you're with people or anytime. In other words, if something isn't safe to feel, your system will not allow you to do it. And it protects you at a level that you're not aware of. That's how repression is. We work at that level because it's driving things. And how needs are, one way to say needs are like, there are core fears in the body. Fear of feeling and expressing what we buried is what we call the first core fear for practice here. The second core fear is what we might feel if we express that emotion, like rejection, humiliation, hurt, abandonment. Fear of that, whatever that is the second core fear. And you have to know what your first core fear is because what you repress is determinative or connected to the second core fear. For now, it might just be a concept. It becomes experience at a certain point. And then you learn that these two core fears, which drive so much suffering, are externalized as what we call unmet needs. And that's what I mean. Walking into a room, and so we get triggered because we feel like we're unlovable, let's say, in some relationship or environment. But we don't see that we walked in with a need for love. Very powerfully driving us in the situation. And so we're looking for that trigger, in a sense, that proves that we're not lovable because we need that identity. We're hiding this need for love from ourselves. And instead, we believe things about ourselves. And these things that we believe get us love and approval, but they're not real. They're not true. We just present them. That's what I mean. Getting our needs met through false means. And therefore, we suffer that way. And then we wonder, where did it come from? It came from the fact that we walked in with these needs that are these fears within us externalized. And so we walked in like setting ourselves up and everyone else for suffering. That's how we survive, is through that setup, which means we're all going around trying to get our needs met, and very few people will own it. And when people do it too much, we call them a narcissist, but everybody does it. We're not conscious yet. The narcissists are the ones that hurt other people overtly by trying to get their needs met. But even very covert people, anger repressors harm people. The evidence will come. You watch. Because repression is repression. And therefore, any narcissism coming from it is a manipulation. Emotional manipulation, but still, there's definitely impact. For example, an anger repressor might not be able to have an authentic relationship anywhere and might have disconnection everywhere they go, but might not take responsibility for it. Their avoidance of conflict. But they're trying to get their needs met. Love, approval, and safety. And they do it through that inauthenticity, false means. But because they're nice, you know, you might not. Nice people get rewarded. People who complain or get angry don't. But we're all trying to get our needs met until we're more conscious. People pleasers, really nice people getting their needs met. Really angry people all the time getting their needs met. Anytime you see a persistent kind of like pattern of identification, you can assume that person is getting their needs met. A persistent kind of like false, like where you can feel it. Like there's something, and you know how you can feel it is if they're suffering. If they're suffering in a relationship or in you, that's it. Because the authenticity ends all that. The embodiment. We finally get to those needs. The only way to get to them is to get to the repressed emotions. You don't have to believe me because your body will keep the score on this. You'll continue walking into rooms and being triggered or stressed or disconnected or angry. It'll just keep happening. Because as long as we have the need for safety, we have to produce suffering. We're just not conscious of it. We have to believe things that aren't true so we won't express things. So we'll get love. People who argue and fight all the time, do you know that they just do that because they need love and approval? They learned it. It's not who they really are. It can be really scary. It's still fear. Have boundaries. That's all I have to say. But things are not as they appear. Everybody's trying to get their needs met. We just do it different ways. I talk to healers, and they're sometimes the most resistant. They're the hardest nut to crack because they'll sit on one side of a spectrum of the narcissism with the anger repression, just fucking pissed, and they don't know it, at parents and whoever else. They've buried it, and they're looking out at all the people who have big energy, who didn't repress anger when they were growing up, and they just happen to have an ego that looks different than an anger repressor, but it's such a trigger. And those people get called narcissists all the time. And when I say to those healers, it is on a spectrum. And if you don't see it that way, it's a way of like disowning it within yourself. I'm somehow not on the spectrum. Like you don't have any narcissism. And people will say, but every human has narcissism. Right, but have you investigated it? Instead of just landing on that conclusion, of course we do. But what is it? It's getting needs met through false means. And we're all doing it. And some people do it nicely, and they do it through by pointing out how everybody else is doing it, but we're all doing it until we're not. And that's the authenticity. It's that simple. It's the healing. But it's so simple that we'll resist it. We'll always say it's someone else in order not to own our own shit. And we all have it. Unmet needs. From the healer trying to help everyone to the person who's just suffering like crazy. Because when you really heal, you have boundaries and you're not trying to fix everyone. You're waiting if they want that, but you're not trying to go out and you don't have that energy. You have the openness and the authenticity to help, but you're not out targeting narcissists and all that. I don't have energy on the things that I talk about. I just feel and express what's true. I don't suffer. But look, if you suffer, that's the tall tale sign right there. I'm telling you, it's the best teacher on the unmet needs. Even if you don't think you have needs, if you have suffering, you have needs. And they're not met. And they're ongoing and ongoingly unmet. Because we want to walk into the room and get love and approval. As long as that's the case, there has to be suffering. Because it's not what we are. I wish somebody would have said that to me instead of all the radical pointing to presence, which wasn't radical at all because it totally avoided the needs that were driving my suffering with the repression. It was avoidant of that. It was needy. It needed safety. That consciousness that always points to presence and wants to be mindful needs safety so bad. Why the hell are we pointing to presence when it's already here? Because we have a need for safety. We're terrified to actually live and embody presence. That would require feeling and expressing what's true. And if we do that, we give up the whole game of trying to get our needs met from others. The whole game is over. Fuck you, fuck me, it's over. Now what? Maybe we'll love each other finally, instead of needing love from each other. Maybe we'll discover that under all that neediness really was and is love, but it just looks different than the neediness and all the peacemaking and people-pleasing and angry, controlling, dominant asshole. Maybe it includes all of that. And maybe that's why it was so elusive, because we didn't want it to include all of that. We needed something that proved that we were separate, that we were this thing, but not that thing. And we could never love ourselves in that when we divide ourselves off like that. Whenever we see shadows, which just means we don't know ourselves. If you see a world of separation, you're still discovering what you are. Welcome to the world of human awakening. It's going to be there as long as you have a need for safety and love and approval. You're going to have those projections, because there is no way to get love, safety, and approval without the projection of separation. Because who are you going to get it from? It's not safe to be yourself yet. You're going to look for yourself in other people. Think about it. But if you really, really know yourself, how would you ever look to someone else to know yourself and be yourself? It would actually be impossible at some point if you were truly awake and then and embodied. And then you would already feel connected to everyone. You wouldn't have to do any self-help to make it happen, because you just realized that all that was to keep you safe from the buried emotions. You're just already connected. We are already connected. We just block it because we need love and safety. And we block it because these emotions holding them back, that helps us get those needs met. And then we have to have separation to get needs met. That's how it happened with our parents. Our parents never showed us what we really are. So that fundamental need, this is my language, the fundamental need of knowing what you are, which is like what you experience through deep transformation, that need wasn't met, obviously. And then the need for love, approval, and safety comes because we're unconscious. From the beginning, we don't know who we are. So we have to look outside, and because I can't just tell dad to fuck off and that's okay. So I have to look at dad and like be something false and submit and develop into that just to get love. And then I have to keep doing that. I don't even know that my power is under that, or I have to like never be vulnerable because it isn't safe. And so I develop into someone who doesn't even know what that feels like. Like when I say vulnerable, I mean hurt or sad. I can't feel it. And so then I try to have relationships by not being able to feel hurt. And then I need love, not because I really need it if I'm a hurt repressor, but because I don't know myself. If I could feel that hurt and just embody myself fully, I wouldn't have to go chasing after love in such a painful way and then sabotaging it by getting angry or whatever else is safer than that hurt. All to get needs met. The suffering. How do we know that here? Because we have unmet needs inquiry that shows it to you directly. Just like you know that you're breathing right now or that there's presence, you'll see it. The unmet needs are direct experience. We don't have that direct experience when we avoid buried emotions, though. We in fact get our needs met anytime we bypass. So all spiritual bypassing satisfies the need for safety and sort of inadvertently the need for love and approval. So therefore, the fundamental need remains unmet for people in adulthood if they can't embody what they are. So we can go to spiritual practices and teachings and recognize some degree of presence, but we can't be what we are, because we still need emotionally something from people. So the ego structure is still there, rooted in repression, but more and more nuanced as we experience transformation. Because it's all body, we're so afraid of the very roots of it that we'll hold on to whatever we can along the way so that we don't have to be authentic. Truly, it's just so much safer to like I was, like, be someone who's enlightened. It was such a fucking protective thing. It's so, I don't even want to be known as that in my own relationship. That was so disconnecting. And for him to even reference that was disconnecting. I created that. My system created the whole teacher thing to get needs met. And here I am, you know. And it really interfered in my relationships because I didn't need to be helping anyone else. And I didn't. In my last relationship, I stopped that activity of thinking, is there anything other than that just being authentic with someone? Everything else is just get needs met. And in inquiry, I learned that I don't get anything out of going to, like, my fear of anger, but I get something out of everything else. It's really the core of suffering for some people. And for you, it might be some other repression, but it really is the core because I saw it directly. It's like I get nothing. If I were to walk in there and just be angry, I would get nothing out of that. I would lose everything. And so my system said, believe this instead. You'll stay safe. Believe that. You'll get love and you won't lose them. So I just kept doing that, not knowing that the anger repression was driving it all. I couldn't feel the anger. That's how I got my need for safety met. That's how we all do. We can't feel repression. So it's like we feel like we're safe from it, anger, when we're storing it. And so we have a trigger and we allow everything, and then the upset is gone and we think, oh, it's all gone. But the trigger was created by the anger repression to protect us. We couldn't be authentic. And so by just resting and not getting the buried anger, a whole host of issues can come. A systematic, ongoing bypass that's avoidant, relationship issues where you don't resolve things because you think peace is the answer. How many of you out there have done that so innocently, but still, it's damaging to relationships? I did it. Like in my first relationship, long relationship, I thought that peace in the relationship meant that we loved each other because of my anger repression. So we could never have real conversations. He was an anger repressor too, but more perfectionist, and I was peacemaker. And, you know, he would obviously get upset if I didn't do things perfectly, and I wanted to keep the peace. And I thought when he got upset, if we can just come to peace somehow, we love each other, and we cannot love each other because that's not real. Not real love, whatever that is, that's not it. Because it was too concerned with, is everything okay? No, fucking everything's not okay. That's why he was getting upset, but he couldn't express it. And I didn't want him to. I just wanted everything to be okay. And I used spirituality to get those needs met, to avoid the buried emotion so I wouldn't have to deal with it. But how would I know? Because those emotions were buried. It's just, you know, you live many years with someone and then you leave the relationship to discover that the two of you never met because you were too busy getting needs met and still being false. Even with spirituality, I was. Because until I could actually be in conflict, it was false. No matter how I dressed it up with spirituality or awakening, it was still false. It's not like conflict is needed. It's just that when we're avoiding it, other needs are being met. We're just getting our needs met. And then just expecting freedom after that is silly because we're operating from the needs, not from what we really are, and we're being driven by the needs. And I'm just telling you my story, but maybe you can relate to this, that if you don't know that this is happening, it's because it's driving you. It's survival. To me, it's practically science. I mean, it really is. If not, it really is. I don't know where that line is in terms of, but it's not science like we've proven this. But the evidence is there to show us that, like, again, Donald Hoffman's thought experiment. When given the choice between A, safety, survival, and B, seeing reality as it really is, in terms of our evolution, we always chose, we choose A. We're not seeing things as they are. We're seeing things that get what I would call our needs met, but survival and procreation, which is really safety and love. We have to stay here. We have to stay safe. Even if it's emotional survival, the system doesn't know the difference. And get love, procreate. It's very hardwired into us. But the part about the buried emotions is changeable. That's the neuroplasticity, that research. So no matter what that choice is, that says we keep choosing, for example, bypassing, but we don't realize it. We keep choosing avoidance because it keeps us safe. You know, it allows us to survive. We keep doing it. We don't know that. All we know is the suffering. But if you process the buried emotions, then you see, oh, well, I have to choose that. And you see that conditioning. And that's because I need to stay safe from the buried emotions. So the suffering that we experience is not really for survival. See that? But our conditioning doesn't know the difference between physical and emotional survival. It just keeps choosing A, safe. Like as if somebody getting angry at you will kill you. The conditioning doesn't really know the difference when you have anger repression. It's a threat. Stay away from it. Don't do KI, for example. That thought experiment is as relevant to whether you pick up this free tool as it is anything else. Because if I put KI as A, which is, again, you don't get anything out of that. You don't get anything out of freedom. When you process buried emotions, all you get is your authentic being, and you'll love it. It's all you ever wanted. But you don't get anything out of it in terms of like needs met. Love and approval, safety. That has to go. In terms of the emotional suffering, you'll see what I mean. That's when you're free. You feel free, and it's not even a landing point. It's not free is not saying I'm done. That's closed. Free is just expressing that experience of like, I don't have to suffer anymore. I can, but I don't have to, and I don't. That kind of freedom that is really available isn't really available until we see why we're choosing A. Because all we do is keep choosing A. And as long as we're safe at the surface, processing the buried emotions isn't that important to the creature who's trying to survive as a separate self. All that matters is choosing A. So when you're picking up the safety tool, if you were to put KI on the left as A and some form of meditation on the right, KI has no shot. I just confused you. Let me switch it. So if meditation, because that represents safety, survival, from buried emotions, just keep this at an emotional repression level. Remember, I'm sorry, I confused you. A is meditation, survival. B is getting to the buried emotions. That's not safe. That's getting to see reality, your whole system as it really is, to become conscious. No. See how we're going to choose A? See that? Now that's going to go on whether we consent to it or not, because that activity of choosing safety and survival, meditation or whatever, or even an inquiry practice that doesn't get to repression, that's still safer. I'm telling you, the bypass is inherent in our system. We're creating suffering for survival. And so only when we start to make the unconscious conscious, the conditioning that chooses and that demands suffering, do we start making different choices naturally. They're not really choices. It's just that we're not driven to get approval. So when we show up doing something, create something, express something, it's coming from a different place. That need isn't there. So we just feel more authentically ourselves and we don't suffer. It's that simple. But until we deal with the needs, it will always elude us. I mean, you could do all sorts of plant medicine, spiritual realizations. I've done it all. I mean, maybe you have too. Big states, big openings, and you think, oh, this is reality. I've found B. No, you haven't. And your system goes, A, pleasure pain cycle. Here's more suffering. You had it, but you lost it. Because realization does not allow you to survive as the separate self. So the needs for love and approval and safety with the buried emotions start choosing again suffering, even after a big shift. And that's why a big shift is not the answer. A shift can be a start where you're more conscious of the mechanism to embody what you are. But see, we always choose safety. So when a shift happens and we have a realization, we're still choosing A, because we don't want to feel the buried stuff. And then the programming comes up to fool us. That's how the needs work, how the needs work in our system, is it will come up and say, I'm awake. That's a new identity. But we won't really say it. We just believe it at a really deep level that we're like done or something, or we realize something. But then we're just choosing A again, because that's what we have to do. The repression will grab onto anything, because the sense of a separate self is rooted in the body. It's not a story or an identity. It's a mechanism that demands the sense of an ego or a psychological, emotional, separate self here. Until we're more conscious, that just has to happen. Even if it's just a disease coming from the repression, still has to happen, because those emotions aren't being expressed. And so because they're so powerful, they're going to express themselves as some form of suffering, because that's how we get the needs met, or we try. I know it sounds crazy to some people, but when we have chronic pain and some diseases that are connected to repression, that's how we're dealing with our unmet needs. I've worked with so many people who have like chronic fatigue, and they finally realize that that disease keeps their life force down, and so they can't connect with people. They can't be authentic because of the buried anger. And then as they process the buried anger, they don't have to disconnect and their symptoms can go away. That's not a promise for a cure. You have to get involved. That's my disclaimer. There's no way that I don't see how anyone can promise a cure, because we're each responsible and we're being driven by the needs and we all need safety. So how can I not be responsible for making my own unconscious, even though there's no self there? Ultimately, there's awareness. And only I can do it, only you can do it, because the needs are buried in your body. They're driving you and me. So then what do we do with each other? I'll leave you with this. If we're all trying to get our needs met with each other, what do you do with teachers and coaches and helpers who may be driven by these same unmet needs? And when people are, they will not admit it. They can't, because they can't get their needs met then. And so being defensive with regard to that question could be a good indicator. But you've got to do more than ask people. You have to do your own work. So here's what I would say. Do your own work and find out that you're driven by unmet needs. We have tools to show it to you. It's in the description, the link. When you empower yourself and become conscious, even if you're not done on your path, that is so empowering when it comes to other people helping you. Because you start to spot the ones that are not really focused on the root. And you start to see how people really aren't getting their needs met when they help you. But it allows you to make better discriminations, because when you start getting to the root and you see the suffering go away and you start seeing that it's all driven by needs, then you want to focus there. And you wouldn't have known that until you did something that showed it to you. But until you go there being driven by it, you'll get help from other people who are driven by that, who don't talk about it. And that's how the trauma bonding continues. If you're interested to start, the link is in the description. Thank you.